Thanks for downloading Pave the Way Podcast. On this show, your host, Greg Helbeck, interviews the top minds in real estate, business, and personal development to help you crack the code so you can grow your business and, more importantly, grow your life. Get ready for another game-changing episode. If you want to learn how to master your day and become a productivity monster, download Greg's free guide on daily personal productivity for free at www.pavetheday.com. That's pavetheday, spelled D-A-Y.com. Now it's time for today's episode. Enjoy.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of Pave the Way Podcast. I'm your host, Greg Helbeck, and if this is your first time listening, I am actually going to be playing an interview I did a while ago with Chris Voss as a, I guess I'd call it a recycle. And the reason I'm doing that is because this was a very popular episode, and if you've heard it before, I think it's definitely worth hearing again. You'll be able to take something away different in your second time listening. And if it's your first time listening, maybe you started listening after this interview came out, you'll be able to learn from one of the best negotiators in the world. Chris is a New York Times and Wall Street Journal bestselling author of Never Split the Difference, and it is my honor to have him on the show. So I'm looking forward to diving into some top-notch negotiating strategies so you can become a better negotiator, and this is a great interview. So I'm looking forward to playing it again. So if you get value from the show today, if you could do me a favor and leave a review on iTunes, that is how we get great guests like Chris to come on the show. It would mean a lot to me. I'm sorry, choked on myself there. And also, if you can share the show on social media and put a picture of the screenshot or whatever and post it online, that's how we get people to see the show. And then also, if you get value from today, if you copy and paste this link, if you're not driving, with 3 to 5 people, spread the message out, and this can get into more ears. So it would mean a lot to me if you can do that, if this is your first time listening. If you want to work with me and you want to do some deals and you're in the Hudson Valley or you're in San Diego, I'm looking to buy some more real estate, and I'm also looking to JV with some other investors. So if you have a deal you want to sell me, I am a real cash buyer. I will give you a decision very quickly, and I can close with no BS. Or if you want to do a JV wholesale deal, I got great buyers lists in both areas, being the Hudson Valley and San Diego. So if you want to reach out to me about any sort of real estate deal, whether I'm buying it or whether you want to JV with it, email me, Greg, G-R-E-G, at velocityhousebuyers.com. Once again, that's Greg, G-R-E-G, at Velocity, that's spelled V-E-L-O-C-I-T-Y, house, like there's a house on the street, H-O-U-S-E, buyers, B as in boy, U-Y-E-R-S, as in Sam.com. Love to do some real estate deals with you. Also, if you're interested in some one-on-one coaching, I've been doing that. Started last year. I'm getting a lot of good feedback. I got one coming up in a couple days here. I'm looking forward to helping the client out. So if you want to book a one-on-one coaching session with me, I guarantee you it is worth every single penny. And if you book the call and you think it's a waste of time, waste of money, and you didn't like the session, reach out to me and I'll refund all your money back and I'll let you keep the coaching recording call and you have it forever. And it would be free if you don't feel like it was worth the money you paid. So you have everything to gain, nothing to lose. Head over to bookacallwithgreg.com if you're interested in that. And I just want to give a shout out to two of our show sponsors. They have been rock star vendors for me. And the first one is greglovescoldcalls.com. Check them out for all your cold calling needs. This company is phenomenal. They got a world-class cold calling service. They specialize in helping real estate investors get more leads through cold calling. And they really stand out from the other people in the industry doing cold calling service. They really have it down to a science. So check out greglovescoldcalls.com. And then last but not least, check out greglikesdata.com if you want some robust real estate software that I personally use every single day. We pull a lot of lists from it. We research properties. And it's amazing what this tool does for the tiny, tiny, tiny fee of $97 a month after you try the free trial. I literally use this thing every single day. It's awesome. Head over to greglikesdata.com and, like I said earlier, try it out for free for 7 days. After that, it's $97 a month, worth every single penny if you are a real estate investor. So enjoy my interview with Chris Voss. All right, everyone, welcome back to the show. It is my honor to have my negotiation hero on the podcast today, Chris Voss, author of Never Split the Difference. I'm not kidding, Chris. I've read and listened to that book over 15 times. I'm serious. And it has been a game changer for me and my business and a lot of my colleagues. So it is a true honor to have you on the show today.
I'm glad to hear that. Thanks very much. I appreciate it.
Awesome. Well, before we get into some of the tactics in that book, would you mind giving the listeners who might not be familiar with you a little bit about your background and how you kind of got into all this stuff?
Yeah, sure. Well, I was the FBI's lead international kidnapping negotiator. And while I was doing that, I started collaborating with Harvard Law School on negotiation ideas. I ended up teaching at Harvard Law School in a negotiation course because we kind of settled on the idea that we were all dealing with the same dynamics. The circumstances might change, but the dynamics were the same. So after I left the Bureau, I started teaching business negotiation in a couple different business schools. And then ultimately, a couple years after that, my son and I put out the book Never Split the Difference, along with Tal Raz. And the book has been killing it as a business negotiation book. It's been leading the category pretty much for 5 years. I checked Amazon today. We had, you know, between the Kindle, the paperback, the hardcover, the Audible, we typically pulled down four of the top eight slots in the entire category. So people are getting a lot of good out of it.
That's amazing. You know, and I can totally attest to that. You know, you got a popular book when a lot of times when I'm on flights, I kind of spy on people next to me. And I have definitely seen your book more than once to the general public. So that's when you know you're doing something right.
Yeah, it's cool. Thanks.
Absolutely. So, you know, if you haven't read the book, you know, definitely got to check it out after this podcast. And one of the big nuggets I got from that book, and I'm sure a lot of the listeners or readers of that book get, is the whole idea of labeling in a negotiation, which is kind of counterintuitive to the old school negotiation model, which is just bargaining, right? So would you be able to elaborate a little bit on labeling and why it's so effective?
Yeah, well, a label, first of all, is a real simple device, but it has an incredible impact. It's basically a verbal observation. It seems like, it sounds like, it looks like, you seem, you sound, you learn, you look. But the impact and the usage of the skill is extremely important. Now, everybody knows that you're supposed to gather information in negotiations. The problem is everybody thinks the best way to gather information is asking questions. Not true. Not true. Any question has a tendency to put the other side's guard up to some degree. Some people a little, some people a lot. What does that mean? They're not giving you unvarnished answers is what that means, especially in real estate, which is always a guarded environment. Labels, on the other hand, are a better way to get information out of people. For example, one of the agents that has trained everybody on her team, a typical open house, somebody walks through the house, you know, the agent might meet him at the door on the way out and say, "What'd you see that you liked?" Which would normally be a great open-ended question, a great what question. And if you ask a question, what is a great word to start out with, because it's deferential. And typically the person who walks through the house would be like, "Well, and they'll think about their answer and they'll try to give you a good answer, but it'll be guarded. Same person walking out the door, the agent can say, "Seems you saw some stuff you liked," which is just a label. Dramatic difference in response. The person, instead of go like, "Yeah, you know, I saw this, you know, we're thinking about this room for our kids." Something about the label taps into a person's stream of consciousness, and they are much more likely to give you an unvarnished answer. So much so that actually this agent referred to labels as unlocking the floodgates of truth talk. And, you know, we teach people how to do this in the book.
Oh, yeah. No, that is so true, because it's like when I first read that chapter, you know, a couple of years ago now, it took me a couple times to really understand how, like, why it works so effectively. And it's like, if you're experience something, instead of making that assumption, you label what you think they're feeling. And it's like, you're almost like the mind reader. And then that builds that like subconscious rapport. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. It does all those things at once, which is one of the reasons why this approach accelerates outcomes, accelerates success, accelerates all outcomes, because you're gathering information and you're building rapport simultaneously. In the old style of negotiating, gathering information felt like prying.
Yes.
And so then that means it diminishes rapport under the old style.
Yeah, no, totally. And that's a big thing that I think with the labels, at least when someone reads that or they learn about this on the show and then they go apply it and they see the feedback loop fire and like that difference in that conversation, yeah. they'll label forever because they're like, oh my gosh, it works so well when you're, especially when you're in like tough situations, like a lot of these deals we do, they're a little hairy. And something I try to always be aware of is like, I need to label how I think they're feeling. It seems like you're really concerned about this item in the contract. And it sounds like that's the reason why you don't want to move forward. And it's like, bam, you're getting them right where you know the issue is, you know?
Perfect. Yeah. And you got yourself that way by practice. You got your repetitions in, as we like to say.
Oh yeah. You got to get your reps in. It's like, negotiation, bench pressing.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. And unfortunately, sometimes, you have those awkward conversations in the beginning where you don't like feel comfortable with it, but once you do it enough, it kind of becomes second nature. And, that label is honestly one of the most powerful things I've done. And a lot of people I know doing those negotiations. So
nice.
The second thing in that book, and you mentioned something earlier, the whole idea of questions, right? And generally, absolutely, labels, I think, are, you know, right on the money. You get a lot better information, smoother conversations. But sometimes you definitely, you know, have to sprinkle some questions in. And your book has a whole chapter on that, the open-ended question chapter. And I just want you to kind of elaborate on, like, really, you know, why those open-ended questions work a lot better. And it's kind of obvious, but like why they work a lot better, especially in a tough negotiation, than some of these questions where people, they do like a binary question where it's like a yes or no answer. And then you kind of get stuck, you know?
Yeah. And the binary questions, especially when you're looking for a yes, I mean, they just create so many problems. It's astonishing how many problems they create. But, you know, we take our open-ended questions. We took, you know, Jim Camp in his book, Start With No, called them interrogatives.
Yeah.
You know, the reporter's questions, who, what, when, where, how, and why. And we've thrown 80% of them out entirely and really focused down onto what and how.
Yes.
Because there's great power in deference. And what and how questions, first of all, deferential. And, you know, it's a secret to power negotiations, giving the other side the illusion of control. You know, you can take a what or a how question and really focus somebody on something, and they don't realize that you've done that. And they feel confident in control, so they're more likely to answer a what or a how question. And even since the, you know, Never Split the Difference came out, there's a lot of stuff that we've refined in our thinking. You know, what questions are principally, not exclusively, but principally focused on identification of problems. You know, what stands in the way? What's the next step? What keeps you up at night? What stops you from doing this? Those are identification of problems focused questions. How questions are principally on implementation. How do you want to proceed? How do we get this done? How are we going to get to where we're going? Implementation. And so then you take these questions, they're calibrated for effect. That's why we call them calibrated questions in Never Split the Difference, because you're calibrating your question to cause thinking and to focus thinking in a specific area without the other side feeling it at all. They feel like their autonomy is preserved.
Absolutely. And you just hit that right on the head. When you get the other person to tell you, you know, basically how they want to go about things by the way you ask that question, it's so much easier, at least in my experience, and I'm sure you could say the same, to really identify that root problem that you need to solve. Because a lot of negotiators, they think there's like 10 things that they got to overcome and all these objections, but it's really like one or two root things that you can pull out with those open-ended questions. And then they're going to tell you how they want to be sold or how they want their problem solved. And you know, that's the thing you need to solve. You know, that's a big thing with those questions. They get right to the source, you know, effectively without like a lot of clashing. You know what I mean?
Exactly right. You know, that's a really good point. And, you know, there may be 10 things to be solved, but the real critical issue is as soon as you change or solve the biggest problem, it has a tendency to change the overall dynamic anyway. I mean, you want to trigger movement in the direction you want to go. So if you pick the most important thing and your what or how question helps identify it and then solve it, then everything else changes anyway, and you probably get some great momentum moving in the right direction.
Absolutely. No, and that's a real practical, I mean, the whole book is practical, but the labeling and the questions really, I think, are two real ideas of that book that you can really implement, you know, right away and start to see a lot of results quickly.
Right.
And, yeah. especially in the real, you know, my listeners, a lot of them are in real estate. And I think that that's an industry where there's a lot of, at least in the residential business, there's so much emotion involved and there's so many different hands kind of pulling into these deals and tenants and landlords and banks. And there's just a lot more fires to put out, you know, which is always interesting. I'm sure you've seen that. So here's a big thing. I was listening to one of your podcasts with Lewis Hounds. I think it might have been the second one. I was actually on a plane from Amsterdam flying back to LA. And I listened to this podcast, I think twice in a row, because I had a lot of time on my hands. And you said something, and it was such a real brilliant idea. And it's a lot of people, especially in real estate, they try to almost sell someone who is unsellable. And they try to negotiate with people who might not be negotiable. And I think people, they forget that sales is almost like a disqualification process, right? It's almost like you got to identify the people who you can truly work with and then spend your time with the tactics we're talking about to actually like kind of work with them and over and solve a problem the right way. So, you know, when do you know, like from your experience, when someone is reasonable and negotiable, and then how can you kind of determine that so you make sure you spend your time wisely?
Yeah, and that's a great question, because it's actually a much bigger problem than we realized when we first wrote Never Split the Difference. You know, and in my company, we refer to this as proof of life, and we spend a lot of time working with people on the proof of life issues. You know, is there a deal? Is the deal with you? Those are two critical questions.
Yeah.
They may be looking to make a deal, maybe not with you. You know, you use the phrase kick the tires.
Oh, yeah.
At least 20% of the time, people are kicking the tires. At least 20% of the time. And there's a saying, it's not a sin to not get the deal. It's a sin to take a long time to not get the deal.
Oh, it's so true.
And, you know, when we first started talking about this, you know, we didn't really know what the numbers were. Somebody said, hey, yeah, the book, I'll think of it in a minute. A Challenger Sale.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I have that on my shelf. Yeah, the red book.
Yeah. Challenger Sale is an interesting book in that it identifies problems. It doesn't really tell you how to solve them, but it helps identify problems. And their data in there, they did a survey. 20% of the people are kicking the tires. They are not going to make the deal with you ever, ever. And the interesting thing about that is, you know, how they did the survey was they went out and they asked executives, they asked people, how often are you engaged in, you know, pseudo fake negotiations when you're never going to make the deal? You know, you're doing due diligence. You're kicking the tires. You're just trying to convince yourself that the decision you made to go elsewhere was the correct decision. You're getting in a competing bid.
Oh, those are the worst.
Yeah. And they admitted to it being 20% of the time. Now, people don't exaggerate how much they lie. They would have minimized it. And they're basically asking people, how often do you lie to somebody about whether or not you're going to do a deal? They admitted to 20%, which means the number's higher than that.
Oh, yeah.
So this is a critical issue. Now, all right. So the problem is there. What do you do to fix it? Well, you know, focus on some implementation. You know, if we make a deal, how would you want to move forward? Some people refer to that as a visioning question. Here's what's going to happen. If they can't answer it, if they're stumped, they're kicking the tires. If for whatever reason they have the ability to pivot and throw it back on you in the moment, they're kicking the tires. Well, you know, that would depend upon you, or if they find a way to put it back on you. One of the reasons why this is a visioning question is you need to know what the vision in their head of proceeding is. If they're in an interaction with you where they have no vision of proceeding, they're not going to. Vision drives action. Before they interact with you, they had a vision for what was going to happen afterwards. If that vision doesn't include you, you are wasting your time. You're kicking the tires. I had a conversation probably about a year and a half ago. I was living in LA. Guy in the entertainment industry. You know, they love to get something for nothing. Who doesn't, right? Who doesn't want free consulting? It happens everywhere. So the guy says, hey, listen, why don't you tell me some of your stories? If your stories are good, I'll see if I can get you a job as a consultant on this TV project. I know this guy's pumping me for information. You know, I've been down this road before. I've been burned. Yeah. So I'm like, all right, I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt. I'm going to give you a little bit of a taste, and then I'm going to stop. So I told him a little bit, and I said, well, that's one story. I got a lot more stories. He's like, well, share some of those with me. You know, let me know. I mean, how am I going to evaluate you if I don't know what your stories are? And I said, okay, so, all right, yeah, I'd be happy to do so. But, you know, how would you move forward on this project when you get what you want? And what he did was he started to outline a process to me that did not include me. And halfway through the discussion, he realized in his instinct that he was leaving me out, and suddenly said, and then he switched over to, and well, we would ask you to do this and we would ask you to do that. But that wasn't where the story that started. I wanted his vision of the future, which was a how question, an implementation question. And so then he said, all right, so, okay, now that I've laid this out for you, can you tell me some more stories? And I said, be happy to when we've made mutually binding commitments.
Love that.
And he went dead silent and the conversation was over. I was polite, but I needed his vision of the future. And so I didn't waste any more time. Not another moment, because time is your most valuable asset.
That is incredible. And that's a great story to drive home that point, because it's almost like you caught him, you know, with his pants down. Like, you knew that he was kicking your tires. And when he realized that, he's like, oh, this guy's done this before. And he knew the whole time he was trying to, you know, lead you on to wasting your time. And then he was just like, wow, oh, this guy, you know, he knows his stuff here. And that's such a big point in the real estate business. It's funny you actually share that story, not because of the scenario, but I got off the phone with a prospect before you and I started recording. And she, you know, reached out on one of my marketing websites and we're having a little discussion. I'm doing some labeling, some open-ended questions. And after 10 minutes, I determined through a nice process that I took her through, she was not a serious, you know, prospect for me to buy her home. She was pumping me for a number so she can go call all my other competitors and have a little mini auction on Zoom and just, you know, kick off a bidding war. And those aren't people that I can serve and buy homes from, because at that point I might as well just go down to the auction. But the key there is, instead of spending an hour with her and taking her through the emotional roller coaster, like you said, I identified that in the beginning and I respectfully said, I totally get it. If you want to get the most money for your house, I think you should, you know, do X, Y, and Z. And if I can help you anyway, let me know. But I don't think there's an opportunity for me to serve you. And it almost catches tire kickers, like you said, off guard, where they're like, oh man, this guy is not going to waste his time with me. And they can go waste their time with someone else. And I think that just saves people so much time, because I heard this saying once, you can't say the right thing to the wrong person, you know?
Good point. Yeah, that's really well said. And you know, and just to go a little bit further on this too, not everybody is intentionally kicking the tires with you. A lot of people will be doing it inadvertently. They're still doing it. You know, some of them are definitely trying to pump you for information and they know that's what they're doing. Some people are, but they're not aware. You know, they assume, you know, everybody in the real estate business, yeah, you're out there to give me tons of free information. Because people have conditioned them that they do that. That doesn't mean that you have to do that. It's a bad idea, no matter how it's being done to you. And there's nothing wrong with withdrawing from the conversation. I really like the way you withdrew with that conversation. Love to help you, but I don't think there's anything here now.
Yeah, totally. And it just gets to the truth. I think the big thing with especially when you're in a negotiation with like a large, like a property, you know, it's like, it's a lot of effort to put these deals together. And if I can't truly serve them and they're not a good fit, I'm going to let them know. And then at that point, another thing I've noticed is like that whole like reverse psychology thing. If you pull back a little bit on them, sometimes they might be hiding something and then they're going to start to come a little bit closer to you. You know, I think Sandler calls it staying behind the pendulum. And all of a sudden they're like, well, you know, and then all of a sudden, you know, you have more opportunities to label and ask open-ended questions to see if you can flush some stuff out. But see a lot of people, they're scared to disqualify people because they think that they're going to kill a deal. But like you said, that deal was never there to begin with. And you're just doing yourself, saving your time, because that's, you know, the most important asset you have, you know?
Exactly.
Absolutely. So Chris, man, this has been a lot of fun. You know, a few more, I guess, topics here, and then we'll wrap it up. And, you know, my show is a real estate show. We have a lot of people on here buying properties and renting properties. What are some common, I'm sure your company's worked with a lot of real estate entrepreneurs. What are some common, I guess, negotiation issues that you see specifically in the real estate space? And then, you know, what are some, you know, ways that you've provided, you know, your clients and book readers to overcome those, I guess, specific challenges to that real estate industry?
Yeah, well, if people have been conditioned to get yes, I mean, because there's almost everybody has been taught to get a yes. And that, you know, that's a really bad habit. It will, you know, there's this sort of like, there's a gray area of where the deal may or may not be within reach. And if people feel manipulated when you're trying to get them to say yes, everybody's had that game run on them. So if they have misgivings about you and you're trying to get a yes out of them, those misgivings only increase. So the yes addiction, you know, the crackheads to yes, you know, yes is success. That's probably the biggest problem I see along the lines, because typically it takes more than one interaction to close a deal. No more than three.
Oh yeah.
You know, but give yourself between one and three interactions. You're killing yourself if you're trying to get them to say yes. You're encouraging them to lie to you because they feel they're being closed before they're ready to be closed. And consequently, you know, they're going to push you away. So I think, you know, the yes addiction is the biggest problem. And a real flip side answer to that is just, you know, turn your yes questions into no questions. Instead of, does this look like something you'd be interested in? Say, is this look like a stupid idea? Is this something you're opposed to? I mean, you'd be shocked at the difference in your effectiveness if you just switch from yes to no. I think that's probably one of the biggest things out there.
Absolutely. And that's the thing. People don't, that yes trap, like, hey, did you have water today? Did you enjoy your water today? And then like, that's like, you know, 1970s sales crap. And like that, no, everyone knows it's garbage, you know? It's like you're selling garbage to garbage men. And like, I think even interacting, you know, with you guys, and it's like you guys have the no questions instead of the yes questions, because it just works so much better. Hey, is it a bad time to call you at 2 o'clock? Is it, and just getting them to say no. It's like that little nuance that like people would think is so small, but it really has that effect. And like that whole no lets people kind of like take down the walls and have an honest conversation, you know, with the person they're dealing with. And that's huge. That's huge. So Chris, one more thing before we start to wrap the show up, and this is something that we didn't talk about on our little pre-call, but really the one chapter in your book that it just really, I'll never forget it, was when you went in and you bought your Toyota 4Runner, your Salsa Red.
Salsa Red Pro, yeah. Baby, sexiest color on earth.
Yeah, yeah. That with a story you talked about in that book where you bought that, and it was the chapter on haggling and bargaining. It blew my mind. And I've cut so many deals by doing something similar to that.
Nice.
I think that's, I guess, one more thing we could, I guess, talk about on the show is when it comes down to getting to the price. And that's a big thing in real estate. It's like everyone will sell at the right number. Everyone will buy at the right number. So when you do all your labeling and open-ended questions and no-oriented questions, it's going to come down to the dollars and the cents, especially in commercial real estate when you're buying buildings. So I guess what are like one or two best practices for haggling? That you have seen that just work best and put you in a situation where you have the best chance of succeeding?
Yeah, you know, articulate the other side's perspective. I mean, what are they going to use against you? If you say it first, most people are afraid that it traps them. You know, the real reaction is they go like, I don't know what to say next. You've taken away their points. So, and so many people just are like, you know, they agree. I mean, I think, I don't know what the percentage is. 50% of the deals are made on the spot if you just articulate their arguments for them and leave them with nothing to say. And, you know, that's what I did with my truck. It's kind of funny, you know, on our YouTube channel, a lot of people have gone out and bought vehicles using the same approach. You know, I told the guy that I loved the truck. I told him it was beautiful. I told him it was worth more than what they were asking for it. I told him it was a bargain at the price. I told him I was embarrassed. These were all the things that he was going to say to me. He knew I'd test driven it, and he knew I was in love with it, and he knew I couldn't find it anywhere else. And I said all that stuff to him. You know, I said, I love it. It's beautiful. I can't find it anywhere else. I can't duplicate this deal anywhere else. And then I, you know, I hit him with, how am I supposed to do that? And the guy just kind of blinked and looked at me and went and got a lower price. And we just went back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. And I repeated the same thing over and over. All of his arguments that were supposed to work against me left him, took the wind out of his sails, left him with nothing to say. And we made the deal at my price.
I love it. You took the wind out of his sail. It's like he had nothing else to do but agree to your price, which he obviously did. And that story, if you haven't read the book, you got to definitely, you know, zoom in on that chapter for sure if you're in real estate. And another big thing as we wrap up is you have the, in that chapter, you talk about you always want the other person to generally go first. And I can say that alone has cut so many great deals for me because I was ready to make, like I did a house in New York where my anchor price was above, or it was above what the guy was asking. So if I were to go make an offer, I would have been literally like bidding against him. I would have cut myself 20 grand. I would have had to pay $20,000 more than his asking price just by saying, hey, Brian, what's the price you'd want to get for this property, given the fact that there's mold in the basement? And his offer was lower than my original price. And if I didn't let him go first, I would have missed out on $20,000, you know? So it's just, oh, it's so powerful, Chris. This is life-changing information. It really is. Just human communication in general. Like you don't have to be real estate entrepreneur to use this stuff. I use this with my girlfriend. She kind of catches me sometimes because she's read the book. So she's like, stop doing that negotiation. All right. It doesn't work. So there's just so many good ideas here. So Chris, you know, as we start to wrap the show up here, I want to definitely be respectful of your time. You got great information you guys put out. I know you have a great, newsletter. So what's the best way for people to, number one, get access to that? And then number two, check out any trainings you have. You got a great masterclass. You just got so much stuff you put out there. It's just such powerful information. So what's the best way for people to get the newsletter and then also to reach out to your company and, see what you have to offer?
Yeah, great. Thanks for bringing that up. The newsletter is a gateway to everything. We put out a complimentary newsletter once a week. We get a text to sign up function to try to make it as easy as possible to sign on. Send the message, Black Swan Method, three words, small caps, and send that message, a space between each word, to the number 33777. And that's 33777. And you'll get a response back asking for your email address to sign up. The fact that it's free is actually not the best thing about the newsletter. I think it's actionable. It's short. It's concise. You know, I get the daily 10-point briefing from the Wall Street Journal, and I need 45 minutes and a nap afterwards because I don't know what to read. There's so many choices. Our newsletter is one concise, actionable piece that you can use the day that you get it. Comes in on Tuesday mornings, you're ready to rock and roll on Tuesday morning, whatever your time zone is. Plus, it'll take you straight to the website, blackswanltd.com, but that it's the gateway to everything. We got training announcements, we got new stuff that we're bringing up, will be announced in the newsletter. We got a ton of free stuff on the website, a lot of free source materials. We've got a lot of very concentrated advanced training that we offer, but you're going to want to take advantage of all the free stuff we have just to get up to speed because, you know, when you get into our concentrated training, it's high level, it's intense. You got to be ready to rock and roll. You need to know the basics. A lot of people get a long way with the book and the newsletter alone.
Absolutely. And I can attest to the information you guys provide is life-changing stuff. I don't say that lightly. I mean, this book has really made a dramatic impact on my career and many, many, many others. So Chris,
thanks,
Marie, definitely include all that in the show notes. And you've been so generous with your time. And I really appreciate you being a guest on the show. It is a true honor. And I hope you have a great rest of your day.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on. It's been a pleasure.
Awesome.
Thanks for listening to another episode of Pave the Way Podcast. We hope you got value from today's episode. Make sure you download Greg's free guide on daily personal productivity for free at www.pavetheday.com. That's Pave the Day spelled DAY.com. If you have any questions or want to reach out, head over to www.pavethewaypodcast.com.
We'll see you on the next episode.